me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Here ends the reading of our Lord's word. Jennings, what'd you do? Send out a note and told them that I was preaching this week, or what?
No.
Looks like it. In the name of Jesus, your beautiful Savior and mine as well, yes, the Lord of our lives today, and not only for today, but our lives forever. My dear fellow Christian friends, Martha, Martha. That's how Jesus began this lesson to a woman who wanted to try her very best to cook a meal for our Lord. So what do you think Jesus was trying to tell Martha when he addressed her by saying her name twice? Martha, Martha. Personally, I know from my dear Barbara, she has called me several names over the years to make a point with me. Of course, most of the time, I'm very grateful that she calls me honey. When I do something to help her, she says, thank you, Danny. However, when I do something wrong that irritates her, she yells, Daniel George. How about you people? I'm sure all of you people have been called by several names as well. Here in today's gospel lesson, we see that Jesus walked out of the big city of Jerusalem into a little village just outside of the big city. And while he was there teaching the people the word of God, there was this lady amongst them by the name of Martha, who invited him to come to her home for a meal. So what can we learn about this Martha woman anyway? There isn't much here in the gospel lesson. Well, I looked up the scholars of biblical history, and they believe that most likely Martha was a well-off widow. Why do they believe that? Well, scholars make that deduction. Now I got interference with God. Scholars make this deduction because she has a younger sister and a younger brother, Lazarus, living with her. You see, back in those days, that meant that most likely Martha was a well-off widow. However, now, the rest of the story today is not all difficult to figure out what was going on that day when Jesus came to Martha's house. It's quite obvious that this gracious lady simply wanted to be a good hostess. She wanted to make Jesus a very good meal, the kind of meal that would honor him, the kind of meal that would be worthy of his great position. So wouldn't you think that it would be natural for Martha to expect her younger sister to be of some help? Well, as we see, things sure didn't happen that way, did they? Instead, Mary, who just sat there like a bump on a log and listened very carefully to every word Jesus spoke. So naturally, Martha expected her younger sister to get up and help make a good meal. Also, as I thought about this scene and pictured it into my mind, I couldn't help but get this vision of Martha's face as she looked at her younger sister. Can you picture the anger in her face? I can't guess what my face would have looked like. Well, finally, we see what happened. Eventually, Martha couldn't take it any longer. So she runs up to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me? That's when Jesus used this very teachable situation to tell Martha and tell you and me today something absolutely crucial for the welfare of our lives. Our lives not only for today, but our lives for all eternity. So Jesus began his great lesson by saying, "Martha, Martha." Yes, that was how Jesus began his gentle way of saying to her, "My dear good lady, your loving concern for making this meal should not be of such a big deal. Yes, Martha, allow me today to remind you, to teach you this single important truth. Yes, the most important thing for living this temporary life here on this earth, and that it is the priority for us to hear the word of God. Yes, Martha, I want you to understand the good choice your younger sister is making today. She was not being lazy. She simply put the importance of gathering around the word of God first in her life as the most important thing to do." Well, at this point now, I'd like to ask you people a question. Thank you. How do you suppose Martha reacted to Jesus' lesson that day and what he was trying to teach her? To be sure, Martha could have reacted like so many of us do, very negatively. After all, just think of all the people today who are not here in worship with us. Think of all the people regularly on Sundays these days who are not worshiping in our Lord and Savior in his house. Now, of course, we know the background in the history of our country. When times are very bad, and I think of the days of the Depression, and I was told, I'm not that old, okay, I was told that the days were so bad and everybody was very poor, but the churches were packed every Sunday. I remember my young days in World War II, those bloody days of World War II, when people relied upon the importance of gathering around God's word, and the churches were packed. However, things are so much different today, are they not? Now, when you go back and study the days of the Bible and the people in the Bible, we see that those people weren't any different than we are today. The Bible pages are full of people who often chose to disregard the top priority of God's word. Can you think of anybody in history? Well, look at the very third chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Dear old Adam and Eve, right at the very beginning, there they were, living in that perfect place, that perfect garden, living a perfect life where not a thing ever went wrong or bad for them. And you would think that the devil would have had to break every bone in Adam and Eve's body to get them to disregard the importance of God's word. But look what the devil did. All he did was make a little suggestion. "Adam and Eve," he said, "doesn't that apple over there, that tree, look delicious? Why don't you try it? You don't always have to do what God says. After all, Adam and Eve, you're pretty smart people. God created you. Why don't you do something that you would like to do?" That was the high pressure, the bone-breaking sales pitch of the devil. Yes, indeed, that's how the very first sin in all of God's creation, introduced to our world all the terrible things with which we live today, things like people hating each other, killing each other, all our tears and pain today, even death and the grave by that very first sin of Adam and Eve. Oh, it's true, my dear friends. The devil didn't have to work very hard at all to get Adam and Eve to shut down the Word of God in their lives. They simply decided to do what they wanted to do instead of making sure that the Word of God was of primary importance in their lives. Well, now, what do you people think about this lesson Jesus was trying to teach Martha? Was our Lord right? Well, of course he was right. And Mary made sure she made time in her life, you see, to hear from the only person ever in the world who would sacrifice his life on the cross to pay for her sins and save her from spending an eternity in hell. Yes, thank God Mary made Jesus her top priority in life, because he's the only one who could provide for her the gift of eternal life in perfect peace in heaven. Oh, indeed, my friends, to cut it short, that's God's good news for you and me today. That amazing grace we all love to sing about as we hear the word of God himself. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in our crucified and risen Lord. Amen.
You may be seated for the offering.